Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar.
Welcome, everybody, to the IBM Backdoor Cover. We are on week number 4. It is the premier gambling podcast for the NFL in our sports group. So when I at everyone, if you don't gamble, this is your point where you just click out. Okay. As always, all of our lines on this show come from mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is the gambling sponsor for IBN. If you join mybookie.ag, use promo code IBSports and you will get a nice rollover and deposit match, along with some great customer service and most of the time some very friendly and generous lines to take advantage of. And for the folks who live in Virginia, you can't bet on Virginia teams in college sports if you are on FanDuel and DraftKings or even MGM. But if you have a MyBookie account, you can take advantage of fading Virginia teams. So there is some profit there as well. But I am going solo today. I think Mr. Keith is under the weather, so don't think that he got the boot or that he quit. I think he's just sick, and we just couldn't coordinate today. So I will be running this by myself. We were supposed to do a recap of our wins and losses. What I will do is I will give you the recap of me and Keith's head-to-head, along with the recap of the High Roller group. And then I'll make a special announcement about the High Roller group as well. So between me and Keith, head-to-head, he is leading right now, 8-5-1. I was 7-6-1. Actually, that might need to be updated because I don't think that's the right amount of games. But I think there was a couple games missed out on that I haven't gotten around to looking at that record. But either way, Keith is definitely ahead. I switched my Steelers-Browns pick, so that put me behind the eight ball right there. I think there was one key game where we went opposite on and I covered and he didn't. But the funniest part was that me and Keith picked the Steelers for the Thursday night game, and my five-year-old, Tristan, picked the Browns. And if you follow Tristan on Facebook on my page, his primetime picks for NFL seem to be pretty nice. He picked the Cowboys, we picked the Giants, and he was right again. So Tristan is up 2-0 on me and Keith. And in the IBN High Roller, let me double check that list real quick. We had several entries. Let's see. Looks like we've got 6 people. Me, Daniel, Richard, and Corey are 2-3 in that competition. Ashley and Dalton are 1-4. The quote-unquote big announcement, some of y'all don't care, but I'm going to actually find this hilarious. I am giving my high roller picks to my five-year-old, Tristan, and I will talk to him and see what he wants to do with those 5 games, and he will be competing in the high roller contest, and I will focus on the super contest and hopefully beating Keith, which technically this week I should get ahead. It's a pretty simple task because he hasn't sent me any bets. But yes, so all you guys in the high roller contest, after this point going forward, you will be competing against the five-year-old. If you don't believe me, I will record all 5 of his picks and let you know that these are exactly who he's picking. Corey can vouch, Ronnie can vouch too, that he's making the picks. It ain't me. So, yeah, good luck with that. Anyway, recapping my super contest, which I'm doing the super contest on my bookie. It's actually the best I've done this early ever. I think this is my 4th time doing the competition. And I usually don't start that well. And then as the season gets longer, I get better. I usually hit my stride around like mid-November and just crush November to the end of the season. But this season, I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm in the top 500. I'm ranked 482 out of like 10K. Last week, if I can recap my picks from last week. I have a throwaway like bracket or throwaway list. I can recap that too, but that one's loosely capped. My main list, the one that's ranked in the top 500, is the one that I take like very seriously. So my first was the Raiders to cover the two. Obviously didn't go that well. And if there was one gambling lesson learned right there, it was like, you know, I really shouldn't have took the Raiders in that spot. I shouldn't have known better. I should have stuck to my gut and realized that I'm not a McDaniel fan. I'm not a Belichick tree fan. And pretty much everybody that comes from his coaching staff and is a head coach just doesn't seem to honestly do anything successfully in the NFL as a head coach. One other thing to note, too, is that for some reason the Raiders get Davante Adams going early and then they just seem to – I don't know if people make adjustments or if they get away from it, but they just don't seem to have a good grasp on how to utilize all their weapons for an entire game. So, yeah, that was an unfortunate loss. At one point it looked like they might tie, might even come back and maybe win in overtime or something like that, but they didn't convert the two-point conversion, so – you know, you can't win them all, unfortunately. My best bet last week was getting the Jaguars at 7. That line had actually dropped. I think it had dropped almost to like 5. But I got in at 7. It came from the show. I was very excited about taking that. And then I took the money line too on a side bet just for like, you know, a Hail Mary and Lord looking, you know, like I'm excited about it. 'Cause it's like 2-1. Rarely, get that kind of value on the money line in NFL. But, that was a good win overall. Jags just, again, not even a situational play. I mean, the Chargers are banged up and the Jaguars are a talented team, you know, and healthy or healthier than the people that they face. They probably could beat 80% of the league if they're facing the same kind of injuries that the Chargers had. It even makes me contemplate fading the Chargers against the Texans, but I'm not 100% sold on that just yet. The Texans were in my on my list as well last week, going up against the Bears. Really wish I could have got that half point, man. It's wild too. Any other time on my bookie, they rarely give you a solid number. It's always like a half. It's like they don't want you to push, which is fine with me. But this time they gave me a flat 3. I took it, and I mean, I guess if you watch the game, I don't know why you would watch the game if you didn't bet on it. But if you watch the game, if you back the Texans, you're probably happy to get that half point. If you back the Bears, you're happy to get the half point. It's just a sloppy game in the second half. The Texans had so many opportunities to win this game. I thought it was a sneaky play against a team that's not talented either, and they just couldn't pull it out. Packers plus 2.5, took the Packers money line outright as well. You guys know, anybody that listens to the podcast, listens to me talk football, know that I have a hate for Tom Brady. Yes, two hates, not love, hate. But Packers defense is better than I think people are giving them credit for. And I thought they matched up well against the running style of the Buccaneers and against the lack of offensive weapons that they had. Still almost found a way to lose the game, but even if they had a loss, I feel like it would have been like 1 point. Like it would have been a field goal. They would have lost like 15, 14 or something like that. So wasn't too concerned with them not covering. And then the Ravens, I don't know why I keep doing this to myself. I'm not going to lie, I got the Ravens in my list again. I think I've had the Ravens all 3 weeks. They are a stressful team, man. They are a stressful team. Even the game Sunday, just there was times where I'm like, man, they're about to blow this thing again. And I know Keith had put on there, like, gambling lessons learned. This is a gambling lesson I haven't learned yet. The best gamblers know when to walk away. not only at the card tables, but also at the sports book. Like, you ride a team to a certain point, and then you're like, all right, this is my stop here. It's like people who, you know, get into stock. Like, you ride the wave, go up, 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 up. You get to your point where you like, okay, time to sell, take my profit and get out of here. I unfortunately don't seem to get it sometimes. And the Ravens are the team this year. Yeah, every year there's a team that I pick that I just won't let go. And this is a team that I just won't let go. Honestly, that Dolphins game, they should have covered, man. I'm still mad about that. But it was a good win, but still some red flags, man, at the end or towards the end. Thankfully, Mac Jones had some turnovers, but again, some red flags towards the end where they're just struggling to close out games. And if you listen to the recap podcast with me and Joe, Joe goes into detail about some of the interesting matchups that they've had as far as like not being able to run the ball effectively and control the clock because they don't have a solid run game outside of Lamar. And I think he makes a valid point. There's some nuances in watching football, understanding X's and O's, and also understanding the math behind the lines and the gambling aspect. If you can combine the two, obviously I think that would give you the most advantageous angles. And I've tried to do that. I've really tried to separate the NFL fan, football fan, from the person who's looking from a gambling aspect. Case in point, the Lions, they're not a good team. Me and Ronnie go back and forth about this all the time, and he knows it's mostly in jest. Meathead Campbell is what I call the coach. He's a meathead, that's all to it. But despite them losing, fun fact, in their last 15 games that they've lost, and the Lions have lost a lot of football games, they have covered over 60% of the time. I had the Lions money line last week, and I had them to cover the 6, but I was not confident enough to put it in my super contest. And had I put it in my super contest, it would have been in place of the Raiders. And had I won that game, I probably would be in the top 200 rather than the top 500. So it's just one of those things. It kind of sucks. But the point of all that is gambling lesson learned. I'm going to enter into the Vegas super contest next year, like the really, really big one at Westgate. And I was listening to some podcasts and listening to guys talk about their first time and their experiences. And somebody said, the best thing you can do is stick to what you know. If you have a bad week, or if a game doesn't quite go your way, and that could have very well been week 2 of the NFL this year. It was absolutely insane. Don't overthink it, and don't try to reinvent the wheel, like to the extent where you're pretty much pulling out a whole new car. Like, you can tune it up. You can change a tire here and there. You might can fine tune a couple things, but don't panic. It's a very long season. There's a lot going on. Steve Fesnik is a guy that I like to listen to. He does the Even Money podcast with Ross Tucker. They have a good podcast, and it's like 30 minutes long too. It's good stuff for the short time frame. But Fesnik told a story one time about how he was in the super contest that he ended up winning, the one at Westgate, I think. And week 15, or the week before last, he went 0-5. And he went from first place to second place. And then the last week, he went 5-0, and he beat the guy by 1. And it's just one of those things where, again, that logic, and he's big on that too. He's got his system. He's got his power rankings, and that's what he goes by when he's doing his data. I would like to do power rankings, but I'm not sure if my equation of what makes the team number one in the power ranking is accurate. So I'm doing a little bit more side research on how to do that from a gambling aspect, because power rankings for gambling are not going to look like power rankings for like standings. I think it's two totally different things. Because again, the Lions in standings, probably at the bottom. But the Lions in against the spread covers, probably at the top, you know. So I'll figure out a way to fine tune that. And then when I do, I'll kind of apply it to my bets and to my super contest and see how that works. And if it's got a good correlation of success, I'll share it with everybody. But yeah, at the end of the day, just make sure you're making the calls. Like, I like that people listen to the show, even if people think I don't know what I'm talking about. Hell, even if I'm under 50% or whatever your threshold is for a successful gambler, but getting information, sharing information, listening to other people's angles may be something that you didn't quite think about. But at the end of the day, make it your call. Make it your call. And I tell people that all the time. I'm big on that. And I think a lot of professional cappers are also big on that. Nobody's not listening to what other people are saying, even if you don't agree. It's just at the end of the day, when you make that decision, when you check that box, I'm going with this, that's your call. All right. Told you guys about Tristan doing the high roller contest in IBM, and also about his primetime picks. I'm rooting for him. Not going to lie, it's kind of funny. And if he does somehow beat Dalton, Ashley, Corey, anybody, I'm definitely going to talk trash on his behalf. And yes, I will be keeping the money. He's not getting the money. I'm paying for it. All right. Let's get into – oh, before we get into the lines for week four, keep in mind the current trends. The best trend that I saw last week, underdogs on the road, if you include the Cowboys, they were 8-1. And one. Yeah, I think 8-1-1. Because the Texans were a dog and they pushed. So 8-1-1. Who was the road dog? I didn't even think about who was the road dog that actually lost. But either way, my understanding is that only one of the road dogs lost. And if you look at my plays last week, three of the five picks were road dogs. They were road dogs. So I'm still trying to figure out who was the road dog. It'll come to me at the end of the podcast. But so it helps to know those trends. You'll see times in the season where it's advantageous to be on the road than it is at home. And typically that's earlier in the season because there's less travel, obviously. But as the season gets longer, games get tougher, things like that, those road teams, it starts to even out a little bit more. Which brings me to our first game of this week. The Cincinnati Bengals are visiting the Miami Dolphins are visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. My apologies. It sucks doing this by myself without Keith, because usually he's the guy that does these lead-ins. But anyway, Dolphins visiting the Bengals. Dolphins are getting 4 points. The over-under is 47. I will say that I have this in my super contest. I don't typically run two Thursday night games for the super contest. However, there are times, and this seems to be a good time, where the home team has an advantage for the spread, and it's almost like getting a free win early on, like the lines are so low. This was one of those games where I felt that way. Steve Fesnick talked about it on the Even Money podcast, which only reinforced what I had already been thinking. The line opened at 3. I was kind of like, I don't like to play them so early because people get hurt. And then I was thinking, like, well, the Dolphins just played a game where their defense was on the field for like damn near 90 plays. Like, it was something crazy. And Tua had a concussion. I don't care what nobody say. He had a concussion, and he still played. It was a physical game. It was a grueling game. And they're going on a short week to play a Bengals team that's still technically playing a little desperate because they need to win. They need to keep up with the Ravens. They need to put themselves in a position to where if they don't catch the Ravens, they're still going to make the playoffs. And so I think this is a great spot to play the Bengals. Wish I had got it at 3. Hell, I wish I had got it at 3.5 because by the time I came back, my bookie had taken the line down. For some reason, they do that sometimes to readjust the lines compared to the market. But when it came back, it was at 4. In my mind, look, for the Super Contest, I can't buy a hook anyway. So if I'm going to take it at 3.5, 4 ain't going to really matter either. So I took it at 4 for the Bengals. And then, you know, if you were able to find it at 3.5, try to get the key number at 3. Never want to be on the 3.5 line. But if you are in this case, I still think it's kind of safe. You know, I'm not too concerned. And again, this is a situational play. If the Dolphins hadn't had the game that they had Sunday, if this was a week 2 matchup, I would definitely be taking my points with the Dolphins, but I just think they're gonna struggle a little here. If they don't struggle here, then we will find that the Dolphins have been undervalued still. So laying the points with the Bengals, the over-under at 47. It's just, it's hard to say with these Thursday night games. I don't do a whole lot of over-unders on the NFL because the refs are so trash and they just influence the game so much. I don't want to stress over the over-under and I'm already stressing on the spread. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. 47 might be a little high. I don't think the Dolphins have finished as many drives as people think, even though they've been putting up a ton of yards. It doesn't seem like they're a top 5 scoring offense, but statistically they probably are a top 5 passing offense because they've been doing their thing. But just a lot of yards and not a lot of points, if you get what I'm saying. So keep that in mind as well. Then we have a early Sunday morning game. It's the London game. Make sure you guys – keep that in mind. The Vikings and Saints are in London. The Vikings opened up at 2.5 favorites. Now it's 3. The over-under is at 43.5. I'm not feeling the Saints at all. Not feeling the Saints after last week. I've actually been on the hook with the Saints 2 weeks in a row. I didn't put them in my Super Contest last week, but I still bet them and obviously lost again. And so, I mean, you know, I'm a Jameis Winston fan, but I don't like betting on people that turn the ball over. It just makes the games twice as difficult. You got this soft line of 3 right here against the Vikings team that, honestly, if Kirk Cousins is away from America and away from the 8 p.m. slot, he's probably a top 10 quarterback. So I like the Vikings here. I like them a lot. Saints defense is good, but Jameis is still turning the ball over. He's also a little banged up. I don't know what you're going to get out of him. It should be a good win for the Vikings. The over-under 43.5, I mean, it screams over a little, but the Saints haven't scored a lot either, and they seem to be like running. It's almost like they run two different systems, first half of the game and then the second half. Like, they just look like a different team in the second half. Last week, they did the same thing. They didn't score. The first half, they did it against the Falcons, barely scored the first half. And then, lo and behold, come fourth quarter when they really needed, they air it out and then they score. And then last week is kind of the same thing. They really need to score and they started airing it out a little bit. Even with the turnovers, they were still moving the ball. So it's a little weird, but I think the 3 is good here with the Vikings. Didn't put that in my Super Contest. Flirted with it a little bit in my Super Contest, but it might go into my throwaway. All right. Titans Colts. Titans are visiting the Colts. The line's at 3.5, over under's at 42.5. I tell you what, I kind of like the Titans here. The Colts covered against the Chiefs. Won the game outright. I had them covering. I didn't have them winning outright. But they just didn't look good. Even in a win, like, they still look like they should have lost. And that kind of bothers me. I finally saw King Henry He looked like the King Henry of old. Shaquille Leonard, or formerly known as Darius Leonard, is still going to be out. I think linebackers make a big, big difference when you're playing somebody like Henry. And I feel like the Colts might get pushed around a little here. Not really feeling Matt Ryan either. Not that Ryan Tannehill is any better, but giving me 3.5, I'd rather take my points with a bad team than lay points with a bad team, if that makes sense to people. So let me get the 3.5. Also, the head-to-head here for the Titans and Colts is kind of crazy and very skewed to the Titans. Let me check that one more time. I like to use Action Sports. The app Action Sports is what I typically use for line movement and information, like in real time. It looks like the sharps are favoring the Colts a little. I'm not afraid to fade the sharps. Again, I just gave you guys a pretty healthy stat about road dogs anyway. I think it'll still ring true here. In their last 5 meetings, the Titans have covered 4 out of the 5. And looks like 3 of those 5 were in Indianapolis, and they covered. They covered as a 3-point dog last year in Indy. They covered as a 4.5 favorite in Tennessee. They covered in 2020 as a 3-point dog in Indianapolis. They didn't cover in 2020, in November 2020, as a 1-point dog at Tennessee. But in 2019, they also covered as a 1-point favorite at Indianapolis. So I think it's some good history there. Coming off the win against the Raiders, I feel like the Titans in the past have been a team that when they win games, they win games in bunches. They're very streaky. So I would ride the wave here. And again, Matt Ryan hasn't looked good. I do worry about Jonathan Taylor, but I don't worry about the Titans managing the clock as well with their run game. This being low scoring and also coming down to a field goal. So let me get the 3.5 with the Titans. I actually do have them in one of my super contests, I think, but I'll have to double check. At the end of this, I'll go back and look at my super contest picks and tell you which ones I specifically highlighted. The next game, Browns are visiting the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are a home dog, plus 1.5. Over-under is 48. I would not touch an over in a Browns game. Just not sure if I'm willing to live on the edge like that. 48 is pretty high, too, for a Falcons team that, I mean, they're going to have to drive the ball and score. Not sure if they're, like, capable of doing that on people who are not in their division, if you guys catch my drift. Myles Garrett in the car accident is a little upsetting. Obviously happy that he's okay, but upsetting as in, like, what's the value of Myles Garrett? Like, how would we value that? Does it sway the line? I mean, historically speaking, a premier edge rusher ain't going to really move the line per se. And again, this line hasn't moved. But you've got a very physical Browns team that will run the ball, that should find success running the ball. And what does that do to the Falcons? And the Falcons are, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson has been getting off. He got off last week, but they've been inconsistent with how they use him sometimes. Like he'll have 20 carries and then turn around and have like maybe 10 or 15. And so I'm not sure what I'm getting here. So I lean to the steady hand of the Browns here and stay away from the Falcons, but would not be totally shocked if the Falcons were able to pull it off somehow. But more confidence on my end in the Browns. I didn't bet this. Had it in my super contest with the Browns, but took it out just because I didn't want to have too many road favorites. Interesting game. Maybe game of the week for me, because I'm very curious as to how this is going to play out. The Jacksonville Jaguars are coming back from the West Coast all the way to the East Coast to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 6.5 favorites, over-unders at 47. It's the return of Doug Peterson. Interesting, the travel aspect of this. Jack's coming from the West Coast back to the East Coast. Hell, Philly to D.C. is a bus ride, I'm sure. So not much travel for the Eagles, so they should be well-rested. It wasn't like the Jags had to do a lot. It wasn't like it was a competitive game. You know, they could coast a little, but it makes me a little nervous about taking a team on like coast-to-coast travel. And if this was a West Coast team returning West, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But it's an East Coast team coming back from the West Coast. They're definitely going to have some jet lag. This might be a situational play to fade Jacksonville, especially when you look at the fact that they beat a team that they were not expected to beat. Very high. You know, it's a very big high to come down off of. And this might be the game where they look like the old Jacksonville. Also, don't know if they match up well against this Eagles team. Strength to strength, I think the Eagles' defensive line is going to hold up against the run. I think their linebackers are going to hold up against the run. I think their secondary holds up against the passing attack. One of the interesting aspects, though, is that this Jaguars offensive line, Joe mentioned this on the recap podcast, Jack's offensive line has been pretty stout, man. Pretty stout, and I don't know if you guys were looking at the stat line or happened to scroll through, but the Eagles got like 9 sacks against Carson Wentz. Don't think they'll get that against Trevor Lawrence, which could sway this line, honestly. But it's been 6.5 steady all week. And we are in Wednesday night. I just thought there might be some early action that would move it, but it just hasn't been. So I'm going to check Action Sports and see. But I wouldn't be shocked if people are fading Jacksonville because of situational play. Nope. Looks like still some early money on Jacksonville. But the quote-unquote experts on Action Sports have been leaning to Philly. Road Dogs have covered. I just mentioned that like 10 minutes ago, how much they've covered. So I'm gonna advise something a little different. Maybe put Jacksonville in a tease it up to 14 or maybe 13.5. But even still, like, it's just that travel aspect, man. Like, I'm more of a wait and see on a game like this, because if Jacksonville covers here, I have the utmost confidence in taking them against anybody to cover at this point. I'm actually looking forward to their divisional play, because I think they're going to do really well in divisional play. But the Eagles are a different beast right now, playing some good ball. Again, they only had a couple of hours on the bus compared to a cross-country flight. So let's see what we get here. Again, I'm more wait and see. Slightly to Philly to cover, but not super confident in making a pick or adding it to my super contest. Next game, rivalry, air quotes. Washington Commandos getting 3, visiting the surging Dallas Cowboys. Tell you what, we'll keep it simple. I just saw the Commandos give up 9 sacks to a Philadelphia Eagles defensive front that I think is the second best defensive front in that division. And they're going against a team that it don't matter. The Cowboys could have just won the Super Bowl. And if Washington is on the schedule, they will still be up to beat this team. They don't like them. And I know Washington doesn't like the Cowboys either, but they're not good enough for anybody to care. So I think this is a game that Dallas wins. I like the 3. It was 3.5 what it opened at. If you're a Dallas backer, jump on this right now at 3. If you're a Washington Commandos backer, just wait. It's going to go back up to 3.5, I'm sure, and just take the 3.5. The over-under is at 41.5. Commandos just scored 8 points last week. Again, gave up 9 sacks. I don't want no parts of Micah Parsons and D-Law and anybody on that defense right now if I'm the Washington Commandos. I know it's a divisional game. It's a little bit different, but I don't foresee them going into Dallas and winning. So heavy lean to the Cowboys. I had them in my super contest at 3.5 and then just took it out. Feel like I'm just going to bet it rather than put it in the super contest. Although Cowboys have been decent against the number and as a small dog. I'm not sure. Yeah, they were dogs against the Bengals and they covered. They were dogs against the Giants and they covered, even though the line was kind of small. And now they're favorites against the Commandos. Makes sense, especially if you're like me and you don't have the Commandos high on your list. And yes, I say Commandos intentionally. So if you don't have them high on your list, it makes sense to take Dallas here and to lay the points. Jets Steelers, interesting game because the news is that Zach Wilson is returning. And that line is still 3.5, which means that Vegas and Cappers don't think there's any difference between Flacco and Zach Wilson. So do with that information what you will. Steelers should not be favored against anybody, honestly. I feel like this line should be a little lower. I'm getting 3.5. I'm gonna take my points, man. Zach Wilson is not the best quarterback, but he's capable. I mean, Flacco is even capable, which he has shown. But I really think that it's more of a fade of the Steelers' offense than it is backing the Jets. Like, the Steelers have to score. And I'm not sure if they can do that consistently. And it's not really talked about, but this young secondary for the Jets, they can lock up some guys, man. I think they can lock up these Steelers receivers because, again, it's all about the quarterback that's throwing to them. Najee Harris still isn't 100%, and C.J. Mosley is a tackle monster. I think, you know, wild as it may sound, I'm leaning to putting this in my super contest. I will be betting the Jets to win outright and also with the points just because I think the Zach Wilson comeback will be a boost for the team. This is the first time that they're healthy this year, and everybody's going to be excited. And I think he brings a different dynamic that the Steelers probably haven't game planned for this week, with him being more athletic, more mobile, and more capable of throwing passes that at this point in his career, Joe Flacco would never dream of. So I like the Jets here. Seahawks, Lions. Man, it's weird. Kansas is number one in the Big 12, and the Lions were close to being one of the best teams in the division at some point last week, but not all for nothing because they end up losing in the end. It is very hard to imagine betting the Lions more than a one score, like 3.5 or more than a field goal. Sorry, 3.5 would even make me like reconsider. 4.5 is definitely making me reconsider. I know they're having some issues with injuries over there in Detroit as well. The Seahawks are not a good team. They don't usually travel well either. Even when they were the Legion of Boom, they had issues traveling. I'm gonna back the Lions. Not super hype about it. And then if I can break character real quick, definitely did not like Dan Campbell's call last week. I had the Lions money line as well as on the spread. So I'm getting 6.5. You're up 3. And you opt to kick a 54-yard field goal when it's 4th and 3 or something like that. Like, dude, the probability, and I covered this on the recap show, but this is what people talk about when they talk about analytics. As gamblers, you guys definitely need to pay attention to this. These coaches who opt to kick in these situations rather than going for it to end the game, you need to be mindful of that because if you're laying points with a coach making decisions like that, you could very well find yourself losing in the closing seconds of a game because of one simple like mistake of poor like play call. If you're going to kick a field goal up three, it doesn't help at the end of the game because they're still going to be able to win the game with the touchdown. The idea of analytics is applying mathematical probabilities to the desired outcome, which in this case would be to win the game. And as I said on the show before, Brown's perfect example, sometimes you don't even have to run a play to win the game. Sometimes it's best to just take a knee. And in the Lions' case, it was better to go for it and go for the win rather than take the risk of kicking a field goal that more than likely you were going to miss, giving up good field position and momentum. I'd rather you get stuffed than kick field goal and miss it, because it's just ridiculous that these guys keep doing that. Like, that's not going to win you the game. Make calls to win the game. Anyway, that's my little side rant. Lean to the Lions, but not super confident in it. It would definitely be a no play for me, not touching it in my super contest. I love the Lions when they're getting points. I'm not sure about the Lions laying points just yet. They did lay points against the Washington Commandos, but it was literally like one or two, which is an outright win. So that's a little different than a 4.5. Like, you really need these dudes to not give up a garbage touchdown or something. Bills, Ravens. Again, I can't let the Ravens go. I got the Ravens at 3.5. I put them in my super contest. I also got the money line, the over under 51.5. I'm not sure how that's going to go. But Ravens money line is definitely a high risk because they haven't closed the game out really. But I do like them at I do like them getting 3.5 at home. The line is now 3. If you can get in at 3, buy the hook up to 3.5. If you're back in the Ravens, if you're back in the Bills, buy the hook down to 2.5. You don't want to be on tap for just that solid number 3. Chargers Texans. Going to speed this up a little bit because I'm getting a little behind. Chargers, Texans, lines at 5. Chargers on the road, laying 5. Over-unders at 44. Again, Texans not a good team. Chargers are super banged up. Just also lost Bosa today. Not sure where to go here, but if I have to make a call, I would rather take my points right now. Herbert's not 100% still. That rib injury is just one good hit away from being very serious. So I would. And they're coming off a deflating loss to the Jags. I would definitely be taking my points with the Texans here if I got to make a pick. Might even consider teasing it up. Just depends. Davis Mills isn't that great, but he has shown that he plays well at home. So, again, maybe even another outright win prospect here. We do what we call throwaway parlays in my side group. I would throw Texans money line in the throwaway parlay. Just to see if it hits. Giants, Bears. Giants visiting the Bears, or Bears visiting the Giants at the Meadowlands. Giants laying 3. Over-unders 39.5. Bears just not a good offense, not a good team right now. Defense has a little bit of show in them these last couple games. Gonna lean Giants here. Get not a game that I want to put in my contest, but if I'm betting, I'd rather lay the points with the Giants because the Bears just not a good team, man. And the Giants didn't show up against the Cowboys, but they also didn't get embarrassed, and the Bears are not anywhere near as good as that Cowboys defense. Cardinals, Panthers, Cardinals coming across the East Coast or to the East Coast. Over on this 42.5, I swear any other time I would take the Cardinals, but there's no way I'm betting Baker Mayfield either. This is purely a fade of Baker Mayfield. I don't think the Cardinals are good. They haven't scored a touchdown in the full game because they didn't score last game any touchdowns, which is wild to me. Even the Falcons was given touchdowns to the Rams, and the Cardinals couldn't muster one. It is concerning some of the things that I see with the Cardinals, but if there was a team that is just lucky to be here, it would be the Panthers. They're not good either. Baker Mayfield is really trash. I don't like Matt Rhule, so this is both teams suck. So I'm just gonna take I'm going to take the and I'm laughing because every time I say this, it backfires, but I'm going to take the best quarterback, and Kyler Murray is better than Baker Mayfield. So let me get that plus 101 just to make me feel a little bit better. That's the money line on that game. Packers, Patriots. Patriots are getting 10 points, over under 40.5. I'm assuming Mac Jones isn't playing because of the hot ankle sprain. Coach Belichick didn't say much about it. You know, these are – it's funny, games like this sometimes, a guy like Brian Hoyer comes in and gives you just enough to get a cover. I just don't think the Patriots defense is athletic enough. And we kind of touched on that in the preseason show. We also touched on that on Sundays in the like build up to the games. It's just not a very athletic defense. But again, Belichick, game planning, you can always count on him to come out with his best game plan and try to maximize the potential of the players that he has. Just not sure if there's enough talent with this Packers defense being better than what they are on paper. Not sure if they got enough here to keep this close, because Aaron Rodgers is going to score at least 21 at home. Not sure if the Patriots can give more than 10. So that's 11 points right there. Broncos, Raiders. Broncos visiting the Raiders. Raiders laying 2.5 at home. Over under is 45.5. Broncos offense has been terrible, but this Raiders team just has not performed well for a full game. Full game. Not a half, but a full game. If they can put together a full game, I think they can win. I'm not confident that they will put together a full game with this Broncos defense, which I had said in the preseason with the show I did with Sebastian that I was very high on them. I love that they're young. I love that they're hungry. I love that they play as one unit. There are no weak points when you have one unit. And so I like this Broncos team. I feel like they did really good against the 49ers run game, which has typically been the Achilles heel of the Broncos defense, because they got guys that can cover. They got a fairly underrated pass rush as well. So I'm with the Broncos here, plus 109 money line, and I want to lay the points. I want it up to 3. I even have them in my super contest, I think, which is wild because they have not looked good, but I just feel like Russell Wilson can give me enough in this situation to win this game. And then we've got an interesting game, the Sunday night game. Chiefs, Buccaneers, Chiefs favored by 1 now, over under is 45. And I say interesting because they still don't know where this game is getting played. If it is moved, and I would assume it more than likely will be moved, the site is Minneapolis, which would be basically like a neutral site. There's no way that Buccaneers are beating the Chiefs at this point in the season, coming off that loss to the Colts. I don't think the Chiefs will lose to the Buccaneers at a neutral site. If they had to go all the way to Tampa and they had to play on the road, I think it would be a higher chance of them losing. But if you're taking away that home field advantage, I really like the Chiefs here. I think they do just enough to win. And at a one-point spread, it's basically a pick 'em. I'm going to take the Chiefs. And then we've got the Monday night game. Please stop putting my team on primetime games. Rams, Niners, Rams plus 1.5, over under 42. I mean, I say this all the time. The NFC West is a weird like division. And I always mess up this analogy, but I'll talk slow. Paper beats rock. Rock beats scissor. Scissor beats paper. That's the way I explain the NFC West. We can't beat the Seahawks generally. And when Russell was there, we couldn't beat the Seahawks. The Rams beat the Seahawks ass on a regular basis. Even when they had Steven Jackson and Jeff Fisher, they would beat the Seahawks. We beat the Rams with Tricky Nicky, a 7th-round pick or undrafted pick. Like our third-string quarterback. We would beat the Rams. It's wild. We would beat the Rams. And then the Cardinals are kind of the wild card, hit or miss. They just get in the way of whoever the better team is. So if the Rams are about to win the division, then the Cardinals will give them fits. If the Seahawks are about to win the division, the Cardinals will give them fits. If we were about to win the division, they would give us – the Cardinals are just there just to get in everybody's way. It's typically how it used to go. I'm not sure if the – I know the Rams want to get back at us. I know they hate us. I know it's a legitimate rivalry within the division. You would think that Super Bowl – going to the Super Bowl and winning it and beating us in the process would be enough, but it might not be. I hate Jimmy G so much. But I'm gonna go with the fact that we historically give them fits and think that we right the ship here at home and we win this game. And I'm not saying that as a fan. I'm just saying that as a gambler. I know there's not a lot of confidence in the Niners, but I think in situations like this, we see NFL teams that are good, and I put that in air quotes because the Niners are talented and they are projected to be a playoff contender. They're too good to lose two games in a row. I put it that way. Especially when that second game or one of those games is a home game. So I'm going to take the Niners. No, I do not have them in my super contest. I did put them in my throwaway last week, but that's why it's a throwaway. I'm not super hype about putting them in the actual winning contest lineup ever. All right, so my main contest, I got the Ravens plus 3.5. Thursday night, I took the Bengals laying the 4. I got the Titans plus 3.5 on the road against the Colts. Broncos plus 2.5. And then I took the Vikings laying the 2.5 going into London. I might switch that Vikings game out. Not 100% sure. But I really like the Jets, who I got in my throwaway lineup. I got the Ravens. I got the Niners. Like I said, I'm going to take that out. And I got the Cowboys. So the consensus here is Titans in both lineups, Ravens in both lineups. So I guess those would be the two that I like the most. Might take the Ravens out. Not 100% sure yet. But if I make a switch to my main lineup, it'll be to add the Jets to one of these spots. Again, the situational aspect of the Bengals will make me leave them in there. If the Bengals lose or don't cover, then I'll probably switch out somebody that I think might be iffy. I'm staying with the Broncos. Again, I know it's kind of wild to think that a team like the Raiders would go 0-4. But I think it's a strong possibility, man. I really do. They just don't seem to have it all together, and they haven't put together a full game. So Hackett makes me kind of question what am I doing with myself right now. So as I'm even talking to you guys in real time, I'm contemplating taking them out and putting the Jets there. But things to think about this week. Take some teams for face value. You got to understand that, you know, there are teams who, and we talk about this all the time, there's people who don't play in the preseason, so it takes a couple weeks for them to get moving. And this is typically week 4 is typically where you see guys kind of turning the corner. So if a team's really good and they have some bad luck, the ball bounces their way this time. I don't think the Raiders fit that bill per se, but again, these are the times where you kind of see teams turn the corner. And then the Bengals, I think, fit that bill where they turned the corner and we're like, okay, this is the team that we were seeing last year. This is the team that people are saying could be a Super Bowl contender. But yeah, so again, keep in mind the Jets as a money line possibility, and keep in mind the Ravens as a money line possibility that might make you sweat a little. And like I said, that Titans history is pretty good with the Colts as well. Next week, hopefully we'll have Keith back so I don't talk to myself for a whole hour. And then if you are in the high roller contest, just know that you are now competing against a 5-year-old and Tristan. So if you want his plays, send him snacks. He'll hook you up. And yeah, that's it. So good luck to everybody next week. And if you have any questions, you can at me. I'm going to at everyone anyway, but you can at me or DM me. Ask me some suggestions, and I can give you some of the places I go for research and some of the things I do for some of my research as well. All right, catch you guys next week.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.